Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening in on. And tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you. And for the first time ever, I am delighted to be joined by Aaron Prendergast, the artist currently known as Gaelic Fan TV. Aaron, thanks for joining us. How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good, Dan. Delighted to make my debut on the show. Looking forward to obviously previewing the weekend's games, reviewing the weekend's action. It was probably, I suppose, maybe not the most interesting weekend of Gaelic football in terms of Dublin obviously winning quite convincingly against Meath and everything else. But yeah, no, I was delighted to be on the show.
Also joining me is Sports Show's Enda Call. Enda, how are we?
Also known as that angry Donegal voice note a couple of weeks ago. I'll reveal my identity.
The masked man.
Yeah,
it was so
obvious that it was me. So yeah, I'm usually screaming behind the glass.
You were in that producer booth, literally with the laptop up, with the dock open, saying voice note.
That's how passionate I felt about the situation.
Look, Niall and Lee aren't with us anymore. They haven't died, but I think they just got they just left. Because they got sick of me. And who could blame them, to be fair?
Too right.
A huge thank you to the lads for the past few weeks from my own personal point of view. And I'm sure the listeners of the GAA would like to wish them all the best for all the work they've done over the past few years. And anything you can say about the boys there?
Yeah, just absolute legends and did a great job on the show over the last couple of years. So best of luck to them, whatever they do next, I'm sure. Lee will be shouting in his Tyrone accent this weekend and the next couple of weekends as well. So, yeah, best luck to the lads. Yeah,
we just have to replace him with another Norrie.
Well, that's the thing. You just have to balance it out. You have to balance it out. It's a quota.
Now, lads, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are we that the Munster Hurling Championship, the greatest championship in the world, is back? Aaron, I go to you first here.
Absolutely, 10 out of 10. I mean, it's the best competition I think we have in the GAA, in all honesty, like, especially when you're having, I suppose, conversations about provincial championships, obviously, in football, and I suppose maybe how lopsided Leinster is and maybe how lopsided Munster is. But I suppose when it comes to the Munster Senior Hurling Championship, like, there really is no better competition. I mean, you've got five teams, all more or less at an even sort of level, maybe Waterford not so much, but especially like Limerick Clare this weekend, like, that's an absolute classic. And I think we're all really looking forward to it.
End at the greatest championship in the world. Agree.
I didn't even know it was back. There's a big...
Oh, you Ulster villain.
Well, I mean, you know, when there's clashes between Fermanagh and Armagh and, you know...
Oh, the likes of...
Donegal, Derry this weekend. You know, it's hard to keep track with the small ball when there's so much going on in the big ball.
The Munster Championship is far and away superior to the Ulster football. I don't know how anyone from Ulster can claim that their competition is somehow superior the way they go on about it. It's just insane.
I mean, you just have to speak the truth, you know. I don't like lying, so that's why I won't say that the Munster Championship is better than the Ulster. I do think it's very funny how different they are, in that Ulster teams absolutely revel in the idea of a dogged, hard-hitting,
boring match
affair, and then the Munster fans would turn up their nose at the thought of a
rightly
so. Hurling. But no, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say the Munster hurling championship isn't good, but it's just not Ulster.
Aaron, you're kind of the neutral ground in here.
Hmm.
What's your opinion?
Yeah, I think they do share some similarities at the same time, though, because there'd be plenty of fights on the sidelines and
get off
battles
that fence
and everything else.
Which championship
is better. Like, especially with Antrim down at the weekend, like few scraps at half time and everything else, probably be similar. And
oh, sure, look, Munster of course, they're Limerick and Clare.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Which is the better championship?
I'd probably say Munster.
Oh, good man. Yeah. You can stay around, so you can stay around. And I think you're just wrong. We'll have to put up a poll or something on Twitter, but I think the vast majority of people will agree the Munster Championship is far superior. You can have the bog ball up there. It's just
sophisticated down below. Especially with Armagh, Fermanagh, like Armagh winning obviously fairly convincingly. Like you wouldn't really get that in Munster. Like maybe you might this weekend with Cork Waterford, who knows? But there probably still is one or two games in Ulster.
That just comes at the result of there being more counties. I mean, the more counties there are, the more chances there are going to be weaker counties. If you actually add up the strong counties, the amount of strong counties in both.
Yeah, but that doesn't make the championship better.
You end up with four or five. So
that makes championship worse if there's worse teams in it.
That's a side
speechless.
Point. But you still end up with the same net result. You still end up with the four best teams in the semifinals.
Yeah, but why don't they play each like Munster? Obviously, it's great because those five best teams or five good teams play each other.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them plays each other, like in a league format. That's so much better, and every game matters. Ulster football, like Kevin Monaghan. It's irrelevant at the moment because ultimately it doesn't matter what you do in the Ulster Championship. Munster Championship, you need to win these games.
Yeah, but that's just because the general hurling championship is weaker than the All-Ireland Football Championship.
Here we're not getting into this. We're not getting into it. All right.
Going down a rabbit hole here.
You can say six, seven teams have a chance of winning the hurling.
Well,
you can really say the same about
the
football,
and there's five of them in Munster.
Just because everyone plays it, except Shitty Kilkenny.
So you're just playing you're playing the All Ireland Championship without Kilkenny and Galway. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, it's odd better for not having them there. We're going to move on now to the replay, and Leinster will play the first rugby match in Croker for 14 years. They're going playing the Saints. If there's any saint out there, surely they'll stop this absolute blasphemy from happening. I saw someone say it was the worst thing to happen in Croke Park since the Black and Tens. Will they get lost on the way? Will they get lost on the way out? They might catch a glimpse of themselves in like an old Brown Thomas mirror or something like that, you know, on Grafton Street. And don't get me started on those blue, shitty plastic flags on Hill 16.
What are you talking about? Dublin aren't playing.
That's a good one.
He's waiting for that one.
Look, yeah. I'll give the Dubs actually that one. But, they'll drive me nuts. The actual horror of this, as a Dub, surely you must be absolutely offended.
Yeah, like I think, you know, the home of Crow Park, the Dubs and everything else has very much been our adopted home, so... to be fair, at least you'll probably get a fully packed Crow Park, which probably rarely happens, you know, probably only happens about 4 or 5 times a year and across. So you know, but like yeah, like it'd be interesting.
Not to sound uneducated on the matter because there's so much
an uneducated opinion on the GA or me, I know.
what's the reasoning behind this? Why are they playing it in Crow Park? Why are they not playing?
Probably because
this is supposed to be a neutral venue, as far as I know. Yeah,
how is it a neutral venue? It's still in Dublin. Like it's just over the. Well, I suppose if you're taking the South Siders, the Leinster across the Liffey up to the north
that's
side,
about as far as you can get. Bastards.
That's about as different as you can get for them. But Jesus, I didn't know that. That was the reason why you can't have a neutral venue in the same city. It's just a different stadium.
Should have broadened out the tournament.
Yeah.
If you want a neutral venue. Enda, the guys in Croker.
Look, I don't have an issue with rugby being played in Croke Park. It's been played in Croke Park before. I just found it weird. I didn't know why they were doing this. I find it even weirder now that I know that it's because it's a neutral venue. Look, like, they'll enjoy themselves. They might get a little, like, education on how things go on the north side and stuff like that. But no, it's grand. I'm not too offended by the idea of rugby being played in Croke Park, but I just found the whole situation weird because they have the Aviva Stadium for exactly this.
Mm.
Yeah. Those brown shoes marching towards Croker.
Actually, you get enough of them from Cavan and Monaghan. It's just a different type of brown shoes.
But less eyebrow piercings.
Yeah.
Let's throw in the ball and talk about some action. The big one, of course, on the weekend, even though it was absolutely shite. We did have a man there as well. Dublin-Meath. Dublin 3-19, Meath 12 points. Aaron, you were at this one. Give us your opinion on it.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's the running order between Dublin and Meath really over the last 5-6 years. So it probably wasn't anything different to, I suppose, any Dublin fan has really experienced over the last 6-7 years. Like, from a Dublin perspective, obviously, it was great to see Stephen Cluxton back in, James McCarthy back in, Mick Fitzsimons obviously back in the team as well. But I think as a neutral and as a GAA fan as well, like watching the game, like Dublin didn't even get out of third gear. Like they were fairly, fairly comfortable. They looked so relaxed throughout the entirety of the game. The atmosphere was very, very dead. Do you know, like when it started raining in the second half, a lot of fans started leaving. I think a lot of them didn't even come back as well. So it was, yeah, to be honest, it was just a very run of the order thing. Like, it's kind of mad. Like, I was chatting to someone during the week who isn't really into GAA, and I was saying, I'm going to the Dublin Meath this game this weekend. I was like, oh, watch it happen. And I was like, yeah, Dublin will win. And he was like, oh, you're very confident there. And I was like, well, yeah, like that's, yeah, like it's like, because sometimes in other sports, you might have, you know, the odd couple of game, you know, where it looks a sure thing, but it's not always. But unfortunately, the Leinster Championship is a sure thing now, you know.
It's just a matter of how much they were going to win by, really. Who stood out for you? I mean, Cluxton was back. Unikick was at 56%. Or the kick, something we're not really used to seeing. Who are you taking in goals for the championship? Does Comerford deserve his chance? Or are you sticking with the experience of Cluxton?
Oh, sticking with Cluxton all day long. Sticking with Cluxton all day long. Like, don't get me wrong, he did struggle a little bit in this game. Like, he missed the free in the first half. A lot of his kickouts were going astray as well. But overall, like, Cluxton's leadership that he brings to the Dublin team, like, you only have to look at the stats on Dublin last year in terms of conceding goals when he came back in. Do you know, like, I think he does shore up that full back line. And to be fair, like, Comerford struggled a little bit on kickouts against Derry a little bit at times as well. So I think it was just a bit rustiness from Cluxton obviously being back.
Yeah, but at what point does Comerford get his chance? Like,
Well, I think Dave O'Hanlon's probably the man, really. Like, he was second in reserve earlier on in the league, and then Comerford's obviously come in. So and to be fair to Dave O'Hanlon, like, he was outstanding in the league last year in Division 2. Like, he was making numerous big saves. So, you know, I think there might be a bit of a battle between O'Hanlon and Comerford to get in.
And another big talking point about this one is refs don't care about the amount of steps you take once you're going in on goal. Bulger there, I mean, was it 20 yards in 4 steps? Like, Jesus Christ. 11 steps, like, I think it was.
It is beyond a joke at this point. I can understand why the referees don't give frees for this kind of situation, but at the same time, the rule is there, and you can't just ignore the rule just because someone's going for goal. Like, it might have been a foul.
It was just a slap.
Like, it was a slap, but yeah, but it's generally one of those open-handed slaps are a foul if somebody's running straight at you. So, like, it was a lazy tackle is actually the issue here for Meath. But at the same time, like, the four-step rule doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
Did you think it ever did?
No, not really. I think it was one of these things that it's in the rule book, but it's never enforced because it is slightly illogical to begin with, because if you're running full pelt, especially the speed that these guys are running at now, it is quite hard to solo or bounce the ball within 4 steps. Mm-hmm. You almost have to take a little gap.
You'd be doing it every second then.
And if you enforced it every single time someone took more than 4 steps before in between a solo or a bounce, you'd be stopping the game every 2 seconds. So
game of football's already well ruined anyway.
Well, get me started on those rule changes, because I'll have to send another voice note in.
Aaron, what do you think about the steps rule? I mean, you probably won't care about that one too much, but what do you think about it in general?
Yeah, like, I suppose as Enda said, like, it's probably not enforced enough. Like, we probably see so many great goals down the years where steps aren't called, and it probably is one of them things where I think referees are maybe a little bit hesitance to call them in goal scoring opportunities, maybe with the fact they're wary of uproar from the crowd or something of that nature. But like, especially in a game like this where Dublin probably already have enough advantages as it is, and then you get given a goal like this, do you know, like, and even on Hill 16, like, majority of Dublin fans were like, how was that given? Do you know, like, and that's saying something.
Paul Mannion, he had a great game, in fairness to him. I suppose he wasn't great in the game before, but he certainly stepped up. I think you were saying 1-6 he got.
1-6, yeah, and like, he didn't feature too much. He featured a little bit here and there throughout the league. Came off the bench against Derry. Remember, he missed a couple of frees you'd normally see him score. So kind of great to see him back in, back to his best. 1-6, as we were saying. Very, very good performance. And I think for Paul Mannion, like, the fact obviously he plays for Kilmacud Crokes and they obviously tend to go quite far in the All-Ireland Club Championship, probably does take a while for him to kind of get back up to his best. But in fairness, yeah, he was absolutely top class.
Colm O'Rourke spoke honestly about the game, about Meath's performance in the second half, the way they just dropped off. But Leinster football in general, lads, it's 40 consecutive Leinster fixtures and a record of 13 straight titles. In that period, Meath have not lost all 9 head-to-heads by a cumulative 108 points, 12 per game on average. So the 16-point loss really wasn't an outlier for them. Like, how do you go about fixing Leinster football? I mean, is there even any point in asking the Dub? Because he probably doesn't give a shit. But Enda, how do you go about it?
There's a lot to do. There's a lot of work to do. I know this is what we asked the football or the GAA fans.
Good answers later on.
We'll get to them later on. But I think, right, the first things first, and it is something that drives me mad, and it's something that drives a lot of people mad, is that Dublin should not play their home games at Croke Park. And you have the excuse at times when it's a semi-final, when there's
going it's to, like when the Leinster fans playing in a neutral going to, venue.
It's when there's going to be 45,000, 50,000 people. That's gone. There was 20,000 people in Croke Park this weekend. Fill Parnell Park. That's all you have to do. And if people can get in an uproar about, oh, people are going to miss out on tickets, I don't care. I do not give a shit if people miss out on tickets. It's not about people missing out on tickets. It's about whether or not one team is getting an unfair advantage by playing in a stadium that is suited to them and giving them an even further advantage by making it their home ground. It's just not fair on the rest of it. So that's step one. That's an easy step. That's not going to fix the Leinster Championship, though, but it might help, might give teams a fighting chance, you know, that they don't have to psychologically get up with the idea of playing Dublin and Croke Park. Because even like Kerry, Tyrone, Derry, the best teams in Ireland struggle against Dublin and Croke Park.
They always dressing room in Everton.
Yeah.
Dressing room one.
So I think that's an unfair advantage to begin with. But then what was great, I saw Frank Roach was writing about this in the Indo. And one of the things that he brings up is the excuse that the population idea of the population being stronger. So, of course, Dublin are going to be stronger, and that's all true. But if you look at the population of Meath and Louth and the rest of the counties playing in Leinster, they have similarities to the likes of Monaghan and Derry and Armagh and Mayo and Roscommon, and they are much stronger teams. So there is not the excuse there that Dublin just have all the best players in Leinster, because that cannot be the case. There has to be something that the smaller counties are doing. And it always comes back to Dublin were given these funds. They figured out how to use them to the best extent, and everyone else was left behind, and nobody has really thought of any ideas so far. So it'll take a decade long to fix Leinster, more than that probably. But they haven't even started to try to do that yet.
Yeah. Aaron, what in the name of Christ are you doing here to fix Leinster football?
Yeah, like I think there's a few interesting points. Like, I think taking Dublin to Parnell Park, like, I suppose the argument against that would be what the attendance in Parnell is, what, 8,000, 9,000. So, like, you obviously had 20,000 at Croke Park at the weekend. Now, obviously, a large majority of them, I think, were there for the Camogie. Like, I was a little bit late getting into Croke Park, as every Dublin fan usually is. And there was plenty of people coming out. Like, there was a lot of fans coming out. So I'd say there was probably only about 10,000, 11,000 that were actually at the Dublin and Meath game. So
looking at here, Park Talton, 11,000.
That would be, yeah. And especially, like, because Leinster quarterfinals are usually outside Croke Park. Do you know, like, I can't remember the last time Dublin played a quarterfinal in Croke Park. Like, usually last year, Dublin Laois, Port Laois, year before, obviously Wexford Park. So it was a little bit unusual that they didn't have the game in Park Talchin. Like, that was very unusual, I thought.
Structurally, though, what are we doing? I mean, there was some cracking answers later, as we said, we'll get into them. But there's people saying, like, combine, you know, maybe Kerry and, you know, Munster, Leinster, maybe even Connacht. Someone suggested, I think, the Free State Championship. I mean, you probably want to come up with a different name now. But to have a championship like that and let Ulster do their own thing.
Yeah.
Though, as we established, Ulster isn't that great either. But, you know.
I think maybe they could look at the ladies' football format. Like, if you look at the ladies' football championship, we've got the Division 1, Division 2 sides in a group stage. Like, last year, it was Dublin, Laois and Mead, and they all played in a round robin, and then the top two went through to the final. It could be something they could look at, maybe. Now, the only kind of issue with that is maybe you're kind of removing the element of a shock or a surprise, like when Wicklow beat Westmead, as an example, or in previous years, like when Cavan won the Ulster title. So that'd kind of be the only thing maybe you might be
people, the way people were going on about that was like Celtic Barcelona. Like, it's Westmead, like, they're going to be shit.
Yeah, but still, like, it was the first time Wicklow beat Westmead in 29 years, you know? Like, so it doesn't happen too often.
Do you think McConville's doing a good job there then? I mean, nearly beat Kildare as well, in fairness to him.
Yeah, like, it was very, very...
Even if he is on the rival podcast, but look.
Yeah, we won't mention that. It was... You felt so sorry for Wicklow in some ways. It was a strange game because Kildare obviously got down to 14 men early on. Kevin Flynn obviously gets sent off. They were struggling for large parts, Wicklow, to keep up with Kildare. And in fairness, Kildare played very well, like, to keep themselves in the game. They managed the game very, very well. Noel Kelly was very good.
Putting a rugby tackle on the lead. We'll get to there.
Yeah, we'll certainly get to that. But yeah, like, the moment of chaos, like, at the end of the game, like, Paddy Woodgate loses the ball in the middle. Matt Nolan's coming out with it, has a free shot at the goal. He can lay it off to a man beside him, shoots for the glory, pops it wide. Like, you would really feel so sorry for him. Like, Wicklow haven't been in a Leinster semi-final since 1995. Like, they mightn't get a better chance.
Yeah, because Dublin now face Offaly in their semi-final. And good Christ, like, that is going to be an absolute bloodbath. Mm. And, like, I would say the Dubs could put out the C team, but they could probably put out the under-14s and still get the job done. And this shit just does not help anyone.
No, it doesn't. And nobody seems to be doing anything about it or trying to do anything about it. So, like, I mean, we can talk about it till we're blue in the teeth here, or blue in the face, but
the
blue in the teeth is a weird one. We can talk about it until we're blue in the face here, but, like, at the end of the day, Dublin are going to win Leinster. That's it. That's...
Oh, yeah. How many points have we beaten Offaly by? 20.
Possibly. I mean, it is quite grim when you think about it, because Mead Division 2 side, mid-table Division 2, awfully struggled in Division 3. Like, the only games they'd won prior to this weekend were against Wicklow and Limerick. So it really could be 20 plus. And, like, when you think about it, Dublin, as we said, I don't even think we're at their best against Mead. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's not a good look.
Why did Farrell take Cluxton and Fitzsimons back for this game? Is it, like, just to prepare them for further down the road, or, like, what's the point?
I think so, yeah, because they came back for the semi-final last year against Kildare. So I think maybe with the fact the game was in Croke Park, that maybe had a bit of a reason to do with it. I think, yeah, it's just to get them up and ready, you know. Because, like, you've seen Cluxton was a little bit, as we said before, a little bit rusty. Now, Fitzsimons, I thought, was absolutely brilliant. I thought he did a cracking game. James McCarthy, when he came on, done very well as well. But, yeah, I think it's just about getting them up to full fitness.
Like, psychologically, for me, that must have been heartbreaking. Imagine you're getting ready to go. You're like, oh, well, at least, you know, Cluxton hasn't been playing. Fitzsimons haven't been playing. So we might have a chance. Then they both come back. You're like, it's a killer.
It's like, you're never going to get a game. It's like Keller on goal for Liverpool. It's like, you're never going to get a game with Alisson there, as long as he's fully fit. Of course, as we kind of mentioned, the other result in Leinster there, Kildare 16 points, Wicklow 1-12, Paddy O'Kane red. I mean, it had to be, but, like, what was he at, Aaron?
Yeah, like, I mean, it was just such a foolish tackle. Like, and we've seen that a couple of times with Kildare. Like, they got a red card earlier in the Armagh game as well. Put themselves right up against it, and really, like, backs against the wall stuff, like, and especially when they're coming in such poor form, like, obviously having lost every game, like, lost 7 from 7 in Division 2, like, under massive pressure, like, straight away from the get-go. But fair play to Kildare, like, they managed it very, very well. And even when they went down to 13, when Owen Doyle got black-carded, like, in fairness to them, like, they cracked on and still won the game.
Owen Doyle with the rugby tackle, black card, Penno. Would you do the full job, Brawley? No, you can forget him about him as far as he's a man.
Yeah, like, and I love Sean Kavanagh on the Sunday game, said it was a great tackle. Don't know if you saw that.
More or less the same tackle as his. Yeah, it caused the black card to become a rule, isn't
yeah,
it?
So, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, do you blame him in that situation, Linda?
No. Everyone would do it. Anybody who gets outraged by it are liars. They would do it in the same situation.
Joe Brawley surely would have done
it. He was a liar too. Of course he would have done it. Everyone
she's
would
a barrister, sure.
You do whatever you do whatever it takes to win the game for your team. And that, if that means taking one for the team, it means taking one for the team. And I mean, like, it was the right decision in this case. It was the right decision in Sean Kavanagh's case. And to be honest, the black card, like, I think it was a bad rule to bring in to begin with. And the fallout from that has caused more outrage than these kind of tackles, because how rare are these tackles? Like, they're one in every couple of years you might see this happening, and it should be a straight red card. How often do you see a tackle now that is a black card on paper and it doesn't get given as a black card, gets given as a yellow card, and then all of a sudden somebody just gets away with these tackles? So,
And then balls of steel for Jack Sargent to win it with the fisted point. Elsewhere in Leinster, Louth 4-10, the Wexicans 15 points, and Offaly 2-13, Laois 1-8. Louth, Kildare in that other semi-final. Just a quick word on it, Aaron. What way do you see that one going?
I'd fancy Louth, to be honest with you. Like, they beat Kildare earlier on in the league. Kildare have struggled all year. Like, I know they were down to 14 men, and look, fair play, they got over the line against Wicklow. They could have very well lost that, so yeah, I'd go for Louth.
Fermanagh, 9 points. Armagh, 3-11. We should have a funeral here on the pod, because Ulster football is absolutely dead.
Is it, though?
It looks like it from what we've seen so far.
But sure, Fermanagh are always a bad team, though. Like, they...
Kevin Monaghan was just a dampener as well.
In Brewster Park, though, you'd expect them to be... You'd expect that game to be tighter and closer. Like, that's what I think, you know?
What we're talking about here, though, is one of the worst teams in Ulster playing one of the best teams in Ulster. Doesn't, like, that is the situation that we're in here. So, of course, it was going to be...
For all the stuff, Lodge, about the Ulster Championship, Armagh now... Oh, sure, who they play next again. And they have the easiest run to the final of all time.
But this is the issue now with the way that people view Ulster football. Because if Fermanagh went balls to the wall and parked men behind the bus and made that a dogged affair and did what Fermanagh did a couple of years ago, and it ended with a 2-point victory to Armagh, people would be like screaming to say Ulster football is disgusting and terrible, and I can't believe the football championship has come to this, and we need to come up with another 5 rules to fix football because of this. And now it's a hammering and people are giving out. GA people love to give out, regardless of what happens.
You're just ruining
Armagh
your own game.
Are just a really, really good side. That is the long and short of it. And they're going to be probably in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, sure. Or not, the Ulster final. I mean, we knew this before the championship even started, that Armagh were going to be in the final. So how can the Ulster championship be the best championship?
Well, sure, it's not Armagh's fault that Derry
it's
have
not
been
their fault, but how can
and...
it be the best championship? I mean, Munster, nobody knows who's going to be in a row. Limerick will be knocked out for all we know. But...
Are we talking about the Munster championship, or are we talking
I think this is becoming an Ulster versus Munster debate, you know?
Look, I think Armagh were excellent in this game. But the test for Armagh is not going to be against Fermanagh. The test for Armagh is not going to be against Down. The issue with Armagh over the last couple of years has been they've been fantastic at doing this. And then when it came to the bigger games, when it gets tighter, they fold defensively. Sort of like what they did in the Donegal game earlier this year. They just don't know how to close out the bigger games. So that's the next step for this Armagh team, is closing out these bigger games. It happened them last year against Monaghan, or two years ago against Monaghan. There was a brilliant point from Conor McManus up in the athletic grounds to win the game. And like, that's the difference between Armagh winning in Ulster and not winning in Ulster. They need to take that extra step. They need to figure out how to beat the bigger teams when it comes down to it.
Aaron, what are Armagh cooking this championship?
Yeah, like, I mean, it was interesting because obviously Armagh and Fermanagh both in the same division at the start of the year. I know Fermanagh got relegated, but you know, they still finished with 5 points and still had a relatively, like, beat Cavan, for example, in the final day of Division 2. But yeah, look, it's imperative for Armagh. At the bare minimum, they need to get to an Ulster final. And looking at Down, like they, I thought they were very poor against Antrim, in all honesty. Like Antrim had numerous occasions, had goal chances, numerous chances to potentially win that. So, yeah, look,
Antrim are more of a hurling county anyway, I think, aren't they? They're probably at that stage.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely, yeah.
60-70% hurling, yeah.
Who impressed you most from the Armagh squad?
I think Stephen Campbell, he was very good. Goal on two points. Yeah. Jarley O'Burns with 1-1, Connor Turbitt with 1-1 as well. Like Connor Turbitt's been brilliant for Armagh all year long, yeah. And even over the last few years, like he's really been flying the flag for Armagh. Great to see Rian O'Neill back as well. Mm. Like obviously kicks a point. Kieran Mackin as well, 2 points from him at centre back. So yeah, like all in all, it was a good day at the office for Armagh.
Like pound for pound, Armagh have the best team of ballers in the country. Like if you're talking about like what we love about the old Kerry teams is the kick and catch and the fielding and out of every county in Ireland, I would say Armagh has probably the best at those things. Like Rian O'Neill's probably one of the best in the county at it. Jarley O'Burns is an unbelievable fielder of the ball. You know, Stephen Campbell can do all of it as well. They've got amazing footballers. It's just about now taking that next step and turning these footballers into winners.
Right, we're headed in for the banana and the cup of tea at half time. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have Take Your Point and all of the weekend previews.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Right, welcome back. It is time for Take Your Point, where we go through one bad point of the weekend's action and one good point. It is not just limited to action on the pitch. Anything goes. Aaron, you're up first. Your good point from the weekend's action.
Good point from the weekend's action. I think, like, obviously a lot's been made about the Leinster Championship and the fact that Dublin are so far ahead of the pack, but in some ways it was great to see Wicklow be so competitive with Kildare, and obviously following on from beating Westmead like the week previous. And although they did lose the game, and I know it would be a bitter pill to swallow for Oisín McConville and the rest of the lads, like just seeing Wicklow being competitive with Kildare and the game going down to the war and everything else, like if Dublin are going to be so far ahead, it'd be great to at least see the other counties in Leinster make a step up. We've saw Louth do that a little bit over the last few years, Carlow obviously in the past. So look, hopefully for Wicklow they can build off of it, and you know, like they'll be thereabouts in terms of competing with Kildare and Meath over the next few years, hopefully.
And that will keep the positivity going. Your good point from the weekend.
Good point. I sort of mentioned it all there before, but Armagh's attack, they had 9 scorers overall in the game, and they're just so dynamic in the way that they go about it. There was the first Armagh goal, if you look back at the highlights, it was like a 6-on-2 in terms of the way they were attacking. They were absolutely demolishing them. Like, so the way that they go forward is something to behold, and the way that they play football is really nice. So I always hold by the rule of always watch Armagh if they're available to watch.
Ooh. Actually, no, I was going to go to Aaron, but I know your bad point is written down here, so we'll stick with you for your bad point.
So many of the Ulster fans within Ireland were not able to watch the Armagh game over the course of the weekend because it was not on GAA Go. It was on the BBC, and you cannot watch a BBC player in the Republic of Ireland because it's geo-blocked. Mm. So, yeah, not ideal having to wait until the match was on. When you're juggling, I was juggling a few sports across. It was a big weekend of sport. We had the Masters on one screen. I had the Premier League on another.
You were not watching Armagh Fermanagh over the Masters of the Premier League.
Oh, no. I have three screens available to me at the weekend. So I had the TV on, the Masters was on. I had the Premier League on the laptop, and I had the third screen ready to go. I'd signed up for the GAA Go season pass thinking, this is lovely now. I'll be able to watch any game I want, anytime I want, from anywhere I want. Nope. Wasn't on GAA Go.
No good. That is piss poor.
No good. Can't even watch it back. Unless you see it on BBC. The BBC put up a highlights package, but apart from that, you can't watch it back on GAA Go.
Mm. Yeah, it was the same with the Down and Antrim game as well. Yeah. It wasn't on GAA Go.
Jesus.
What's the point of the streaming service if it doesn't have it?
You think they'd at least have them on GAA Go for the people.
Some club game would be broadcast there on Clubber, but you couldn't find inter-county fixtures anywhere that were broadcasted. Like even on Clubber or something. Aaron, your bad point here of the weekend.
Yeah, look, obviously as a Dublin fan, you know, great seeing us beat Meath quite comfortably and everything else, and I appreciate every win that Dublin get, but in all seriousness, I was doing some stats just on the Leinster Championship earlier, and in Dublin's last 30 Leinster Championship wins, only one of them games has had a margin less of 5 points in terms of the victory, and that was Kildare last year. So that just really puts it into perspective, like how severe the Leinster Championship is gone, do you know, like, and I've seen some stats as well, like on the attendance as well, like obviously 21,000 there, you go back to 2010, 60,000, you go as far back as 2007, it's fully packed out for both games. So yeah, I think the Leinster Championship is the big issue. And even, you know, like on Hill 16, most Dublin fans were switching off and leaving with 10 minutes to go. And I just think it's not doing anyone any favours.
It's just one of those games you start going on your phone or just chatting to the fella next to you.
There was one lad watching the Arsenal Aston Villa game on his phone. Like, no word of a lie. Like, he had it on his phone. He was a young lad now. He's only about 7 or 8. But probably was.
I was watching the Armagh Fermanagh game. But that's the thing, though. Like, especially these weekends in April, where there's so much going on in that you had the Masters at the weekend, you had the title race is really hitting up the Premier League.
Yeah.
It's arrogant of the GAA to assume that people will, regardless of the quality, tune in to watch the GAA matches, because they won't. When they have to make the choice, even in the pubs, people will be wanting to stick on different sports. So, it's not going to
My bad point of the weekend is Colm O'Rourke's hat. It looked like you've been through the washing machine like 5 times. It was all floppy. It just looked terrible. Yeah. It's like, you know, some old farmer on the sideline.
Just the important stuff for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It said anything goes. And as mentioned earlier, forget your Champions Leagues. Forget your World Cups. This is the greatest championship in the world. The Munster Championship is back. Clare versus Limerick in Ennis. Cork versus Waterford in Walsh Park. We'll start with Clare Limerick, since we already know the result of Cork Waterford. Aaron, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's hugely exciting. I mean, I think very much throughout the Hurling League, all the build-up has been very much dedicated towards Clare and Limerick. I think everyone's been talking about it. Clare, they do only have one win in their last six against Limerick in the Munster Hurling Championship since 2018. That obviously came last year at the Gaelic Grounds. Like, for Limerick, I couldn't, especially after them looking quite sluggish against Kilkenny and having quite a heavy defeat, I think it would be quite a statement to go out, beat Clare in Ennis, and especially like silence the doubters ever so slightly, because I think from listening to other previews and everything, everyone seems to be backing Clare for this game.
I am one of those people. I think Clare, the way they've just cooked this whole league campaign, I know Championship is instantly different, but there's something about this Clare side different is just that is different to what we've seen for, I think, many a time at Clare.
Yeah, but I think Limerick, though, like, when under John Coyley, when have you seen Limerick put out two very average performances back to back? Very, very rarely happened, especially since going on this 5-in-a-row run in the All-Ireland. So, I fancy Limerick, to be honest, to go and do it.
Do you reckon they'll be tired? I presume they were running to the ground love the past month.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'd say they got hill runs and the whole lot. Yeah, absolutely. Because like, that performance against Kilkenny, like, you rarely see Limerick get beat as badly as that, you know? Like, I don't think it's ever happened in the John Coyley era, at least going as far back maybe as 2018 or 2017.
Yeah, but Limerick aren't as infallible as people like to make out. Getting closer to that All-Ireland final, they certainly are.
Yeah.
But I think the first round of a Munster Championship is a nice enough time to catch them, because Waterford put them to the sword. Or maybe not put him to the sword, but had a good crack off him last year in Munster.
They did.
I think Clare are catching him here, especially in Ennis as well.
Yeah. Like,
you're not convinced anyway.
No, no. Like, cause I think for, especially after losing in Ennis last year as well, getting beat in their, like, or losing in the Gaelic grounds last year, getting beat in their own backyard, I think it'd be a massive statement to go there and be clear, and it'll put them to the sword. It will burst their bubble a little bit. And the psychological effect I think that will have on a Munster final, possibly even an All-Ireland final as well. So,
well, there, yeah, that's the thing. It's going to be that psychological aspect of, okay, people fancy Clare, Limerick are turning up to this game thinking, we can derail their season now with this. Because, you know, like, if Limerick go into this semi-cooked and still beat Clare, then for the All-Ireland, that gives them a huge psychological advantage going forward that, look, lads, we weren't even peaking for that. We were just getting started.
Yeah.
Now this is All-Ireland. Suddenly we're peaking. So, yeah, it's a big one for Limerick if they go and win it. I don't think it's as big a deal if Clare beat Limerick. I don't think that'll impact Limerick going forward, which I think is the opposite for Clare.
Your ultimate prediction of the match?
Limerick. I think Limerick.
How many points?
It'll be close. I'd say 3 points.
I'm saying Clare by 2, Aaron.
I'm going Limerick by 1. Last 6 games, all decided by a point, so I'm going to continue on that trend.
The Munster Championship is great for backing the draw, I've noticed as well, Lord. Like, yeah, you get decent odds. Yeah. Like, all the teams are so close.
To be fair, a draw is very, very likely as well. Do you know, yeah, it could very well happen.
Cork versus Waterford in Walsh Park. Cannot wait to beat those bollockses in their own backyard. And they're going to be outnumbered in their own ground as well, which is going to be the mad thing about it. Apparently nobody in Waterford is buying tickets for this one. They're getting as bad as Kilkenny fans, I'd say.
Who's your source for that?
inside man.
Just making Davey up things Fitzgerald as we go.
I suppose, like, if there was anyone to upset the odds or upset the apple cart, it probably would be Davey Fitz. But, like, looking at it, like, Waterford have won just 2 of their last 8 games in the Munster Championship. Both of them, coincidentally, were against Tipperary. So, like, Cork surely have to win this, because, like, you feel like if Cork were to slip up and lose this, then all of a sudden their backs are against the wall, especially with Clare and Limerick still to come.
It is mad. I do fancy us to win this one. I was kind of thinking, though, as like weird shouts at the start of the championship, I think Waterford are going to get a win somewhere. I don't know who it's going to be against, but I think they're going to get a win somewhere. And you just have to hope you're not that county that they get a win against, or else your season is probably over then if you are that county. I can't see them winning 2. But I think on their day, they are good enough to beat. They're probably still good enough to beat any of the counties there on their day if the other county have an off one.
Yeah, like, definitely. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I've seen, you know, some shouts during the week saying Cork are going to win this by 10, 15, and I just couldn't agree with that at all. Like, I think even Waterford last year, like 20, yeah, maybe. Jesus, you'd be delighted with that. Like, even last year against Limerick, Waterford gave Limerick a fairly good go. Do you know, like, I know they were beaten quite comfortably by both Cork and Clare, beat Tipperary, and they've obviously had a sluggish enough league. But, like, Desi Hutchinson's obviously back in, Jamie Barron's back in, Pat Fitzgerald, Michael Coyley have both looked very good as well. So I would fancy Cork, but I think it would be very, very close. And I think Davey will have a game plan for this game.
Yeah, it'll be closer than what people think, but Cork will still ultimately get the job done. This leads me into a question here. Who gets out of Munster? Enda, I'll go to you first here.
I can't decide on...
Oh, come on. Come on.
Sitting on the fence.
Well, you're holding a gun underneath the table that people can't see. So,
Inglorious Bastards. It's like,
yeah. That's exactly what's happening right now. People can't see it, but I'm terrified for my life right now. I'll go with Cork, I think, against Waterford.
Okay. But who's getting out of Munster in general? Who are the 3 teams?
Cork, Limerick, and Clare.
Has to be Clare. They're the 3 teams I'm saying, but I'm saying Cork, Clare in the final. Clare win Munster. Limerick are in 3rd place.
You're not going to back yourselves against Clare in the Munster final?
No, I think Clare are very good this year. Yeah. Now, the week leading up to that Munster final, I will be shouting from the rooftops that we're going to hammer the shite out of Clare and that the burn is absolutely terrible, which it is. But I think that's my shout for the Munster. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'd go Limerick Clare in the final, Cork in 3rd, I think, as well. I think they'll just have the edge.
People were saying tip at the start of the year, and then after the league campaign, it's like people have gone off them.
Yeah, like it's just not really clicking for for Tipperary at the minute. And like when you look at Liam Cahill, back-to-back seasons for both Waterford and Tip, he hasn't got out of Munster. So, and unfortunately, I think the trend... And like, to be fair, like if you were to do a power rankings in hurling, and this probably is a another provincial championship debate, but if you were to do a top six in Munster, Tipperary would probably be in it, you know? But it's just, the Munster championship is so rootless, and when you have Limerick Clare and a very good Cork side as well, you know, like it's just unfortunate for Tipperary.
Yeah, exactly. We'll stick with Munster, but we'll turn our attention to the football. Cork versus Kerry. I was saying we're going to beat Waterford. This one I'm not so sure of. Enda, do you give Cork any hope at all in this one? I think we haven't beat Kerry in Fitzgerald Stadium since 1995.
Yeah, no, it reminds me a little bit of the Merseyside Derby where people think it's a big game just because it used to be back in the day, but in reality, one team always wins and it's going to be the same this weekend. Kerry are going to run away with it. Cork footballers have been tremendously disappointing in the bigger games.
I think they're better in the bigger games when the pressure's on them rather than the shitty games when they're in. I agree with that as well.
So they're more wasteful. Like it seems like they shit themselves
They're always wasteful. Yeah. That's the thing. If they can click in that forward line and start banging in goals, which they get opportunities to do, they could do a bit of damage in the championship. I'm talking about quarter final stage again, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's probably where they're looking. But they might be able to catch Kerry on their day. Aaron, do you give them any hope?
Yeah, like it's weird Cork and Kerry because like when you look at the Dublin and Meath rivalry, like Dublin have just been beaten Meath completely out of gate. Cork and Kerry should be very similar because Cork are obviously mid-table Division 2 side, have been like that for a good couple of years. Kerry, one of the best teams in the country. But when you actually look at the recent games, they have been a lot closer. Like in the group stages last year, Cork arguably should have won that game. You think back to a few years prior to that, 2020, when Cork obviously got the win. Even 2019 as well, I remember, was a very close game. So, strangely enough, like Kerry should win comfortably and they should win at a canter. But Cork, for whatever reason, always tend to raise their game against Kerry. And
that might
make a game out of it, but look, you would expect Kerry to win it.
Yeah, Cork do raise their game on the big days, like beating Roscommon last year. Mm. Had a crack off Dublin even, like, I mean... We can be decent on our day, but we're not decent enough to do anything over note. Clare Waterford. Any shouts for that?
Hang on.
In another semi-final.
Why are we sitting here talking about Clare Waterford and Sligo Galway when Derry are playing Donegal this weekend?
Ulster football is dead, as we've discussed.
Are we trying to fill airtime or something here? Like it's the biggest game of the weekend. We're sitting here talking about to move on to Clare Waterford. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to those counties,
about Clare Waterford anyway.
I mean, look, like Waterford haven't played in Munster final. Yeah,
you probably say the Munster football is even better than Ulster football at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Like especially Cork Kerry, you know, going down to the war last few years. I don't know. Looking in all seriousness, I mean. Clare should beat Waterford quite comfortably. It was a phenomenal story for Waterford to beat Tipperary, but I think if Clare don't win this game, it'd be a bit mad. Like imagine Waterford in the All-Ireland series playing Dublin at Croke Park.
The big dogs, will they be put down against Galway? And
yes.
How much are we talking? I mean, it's a matter of how much, really, isn't it?
I'm just trying to get moved on as quickly as possible to the next game.
It's coming next. It's coming next.
Again, Sligo, nice team. Never going to really endanger Galway unless it's a huge upset. You'd prefer to see, for the sake of the Connacht Championship, you would prefer to see Galway winning this game anyway because of what we've seen the last couple of years when the smaller team on the lopsided side of the draw gets through to the final. So.
Right, and that's all we have time for on this week's episode of the GA Hour. No, we'll get it in there. Derry Donegal. And as a Donegal man, how much do you want to beat these?
It's funny because there's a little bit of sort of like a 360 here because the first Ulster final that Jim McGuinness won under Donegal was against Derry in the final. And I'm not saying that Derry would have been as strong a favourites in that game as they are for this game, but be fairly close. Nobody really gave Donegal a chance in 2011. And look, this is a big game for Donegal. This is as big as it gets. Do I care as much about beating Derry as I would the likes of Tyrone? Probably not.
I hate Tyrone more.
I hate Tyrone more, definitely, more than Derry.
What is it about Tyrone?
They're just
sneaky.
Sure, we saw Willie, like, you know what those Tyrone men are like.
Sneaks.
But look, this is a game where I don't think many people are expecting Donegal to win. Realistically, nobody's really expecting Donegal to win.
I think people are secretly thinking, I think even you're secretly thinking, Jesus, we're going to give these boys a crack. Jimmy boy is going to have something up his sleeve here.
He is, yeah, 100%. It reminds me of the game against Dublin in 2014, where they just, Dublin were like, nobody was beating this Dublin team. Nobody had a chance. And then Jim McGuinness springs the game plan that just sprung it wide open. I think he'll have something like that. The difference is he probably doesn't have the same quality of players as he did in 2014. But there is an air of 2011 sort of era of this Donegal team. Now, I would not be surprised if that game plan is 2011's game plan of parking as many people behind the ball as possible and making this a horrible, horrible game. If they do that and win, that's the job done.
Who's more of a legend in Donegal? Daniel O'Donnell or Jim McGuinness?
It's not even close. Daniel.
Yeah?
Nah, Jim McGuinness is like... Jim McGuinness, the air to which he is held is impossible really to describe. There's probably...
He just has to bring out the shirtless calendar now, though.
Yeah, well, that's it. He has the dad bod to do it. But I think what's really nice to see is that he's doing Jim McGuinness 2.0, where it's just like, just do the same thing. He's being secretive. Nobody within Donegal football knows what's going on.
Media bans and all
media
this
bans,
stuff.
Media bans, dogged training sessions from what you hear. And yeah, I think Donegal will be ready for this game. My issue is that it could be their Everest this season, that if they beat Derry, they probably do go on to win Ulster. But I think that's as far as they'll go. I don't think they'll challenge in the All-Ireland.
Give us a final prediction.
I think Derry are going to win this game by 2 points.
Saying Donegal win it by one. Aaron, your general thoughts on how you see this one going, first of all, and get into prediction.
Yeah, look, I think it's arguably Derry's toughest test in Ulster, you could argue, like, especially looking how good Donegal were in Division 2 and... especially like Jim McGuinness coming in, as Enda was saying, like, he's definitely going to have a game plan. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It'd be interesting to see what way he approaches it. Like, you feel like if anyone can stop Ulster or stop Derry in Ulster, it probably would be Jim McGuinness and Donegal. So I'd probably fancy Derry ever so slightly, but like Donegal, they could sneak it. They could definitely sneak it.
We'll stick with you here, Roscommon Mayo on Sunday. These two lads absolutely hate each other. What way do you see this one going? I mean, Roscommon.
Yeah. Andy Moran or something.
Not a great league. You'd imagine Mayo get the win here.
You think so, yeah. Like, it is interesting when you look at Mayo and Roscommon in the last couple of years. Like, Mayo tend to have a better record at the Hyde against Roscommon. Roscommon tend to have a better record against Mayo at McHale Park. It's a bit of a bizarre record, but you'd surely have to fancy Mayo. Mayo have such a weird record, though, in Connacht. Like, they've only won Connacht twice since 2015, which is a little bit bizarre.
Their whole history is a weird record. Like,
I know, yeah, it is. Like, so surely they have to get back to trying to win Connacht, you know, like, so yeah, like, and especially with Roscommon very much in free fall, you'd have to fancy Mayo to win by 4 or 5.
In Ulster football, Cavan Tyrone, who's taking it?
I think Tyrone are going to win this. Cavan for me are a bit in the Fermanagh bracket in that they might cause an upset here and there, as they did a couple of years ago. But really and truly, Tyrone would be really disappointed with themselves if they didn't go and win this game. Yeah, I think it's an easy win for Tyrone, to be honest.
Nothing worth talking about in Leinster hurling, really. Well, Wexford Dublin. This is probably both these teams' seasons right here, Aaron.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, because especially from a Dublin perspective, the idea of getting anything against Kilkenny, absolutely not. Like, we've been trashed pretty much the last 7-8 years on the bounce when we've played Kilkenny. Galway, we have an all right record against. Wexford, we've actually beaten them. We've actually beaten them in the last two seasons, funnily enough. So it would give Dublin a bit of a chance. But I think Wexford are bringing in, like, they've brought in a lot more younger lads this year. Like, Corey Byrne-Dunbar has looked very good. Seamus Casey been outstanding for Wexford. So It's a huge game, and I think it's a game Wexford really have to win, considering how poor Leinster went for them last year. But one thing I would say is, if Dublin can get over the line, they play Carlow and Antrim in their next two games. And Wexford play Galway in one of them weekends as well. So there's an opportunity to just build up a bit of a gap if Dublin do win. But in all seriousness, I think Wexford might just nick it.
Yeah, I can't see Wexford being beat under Rossler, especially this year. Carlow and Antrim then playing the two minnows at the weekend. Hurling in general, we didn't really get to it last week. Aaron, for you, who's been the player of the league?
I think there's a few interesting shows. I think Aidan McCarthy's been outstanding for Clare, 236.
Unreal on the freeze.
Yeah, he's been
outstanding. He might free taker now over Kelly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting show. Yeah, I think Aidan McCarthy is a good show, but I think one player who does deserve a show actually as well is David Williams of Westmeath. He finishes the top scorer in Division 1, 244 in total for Westmeath. So I think he's a player who definitely deserves a special mention.
I think David Fitzgerald has to be the player of the league for me. Any young player of the league coming through that you thought might do something come championship?
I suppose David Williams is a shout there as well. Seamus Casey's been very good for Wexford. I suppose when you're looking at the obvious ones, like Mark Rogers has obviously been outstanding for Clare. He was obviously Young Hurler of the Year last year. So I think Mark Rogers probably still is the front runner. I think he could very well win back to back Young Hurler of the Year awards.
Manager of the league has to be Lone.
Yeah, absolutely. Like winning a first league title since 2016, getting them over the line, like major piece of silverware. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer there.
Yeah, that one meant an awful lot to him. And the dark horse for the championship, for what we've seen, if there's any. I mean, they're all in with shouts of doing something really, realistically.
Yeah. I think Cork might be a bit of a dark horse
when you think about it.
Yeah, which is weird. Like, we shouldn't really be saying Cork are a dark horse considering their history and everything else. But because especially with the way the championship is structured, like Cork, let's say if Cork finished third, they're then obviously going to play, I think, the Joe McDonough winners. And then after that, they're going to play the Leinster runners up, you would say. Could be Galway or Kilkenny, one of them two. But I'd probably give Cork a good chance of beating a Galway in a quarter final. So,
oh, we're far better than Galway anyway. So Galway,
I think getting to an All Ireland semi final is more than achievable for Cork.
And I was going to move on there now, but since we already got a compliment on Cork, I'm fishing for another one. Who's your dark horse for the championship?
For the All Ireland Football Championship or the Hurling Championship?
Hurling Championship. The one that matters.
The gun's in my leg again. Can you class Clare as dark horses?
I suppose ultimately it's just the winner now.
Like, yeah. Is anybody outside of Limerick or dark horses, aren't they, really? Like, So, yeah, let's go with Clare.
Okay, fair enough. I do think, I'm going to be screaming from the rooftops that Cork are still going to win in All-Ireland, but I think Clare have a great shout this year, even though they'll probably end up letting me down.
Yeah. Dark horses for the football, Donegal.
I said that last week.
Did you?
I did. There you go now. And you did compliment Cork back, to be fair to you. Player problems. We now go to everyone's favourite segment here on the GAA Hour. It is the infamous player problems. We asked, what should the GAA do to fix the Leinster Championship? We had some crackers here, lads. Kieran Kavanagh says, runneth without Dublin, then the winners of it play Dublin at the end of the Championship year. Aaron, in favour of this one, no?
Yeah, like, I mean, Dublin probably still end up winning that anyway, though. Yeah. You know, so, like, it's...
Same net result, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like, I don't
just
think that
the inevitable, I suppose. Yeah.
It's the same idea as people have been putting the tape over Max Verstappen on the F1. At the end of the day, you're still watching a race that Max Verstappen's going to win, so...
Egan Connor says, kick Dublin out. Yes. Just of Ireland, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be very, very happy if that happened, you know, like... Yeah, look, I mean, what do you do with Dublin? That is the age-old question. Like, they'll have to look at something, like, and whether it is, like, a ladies' football format or something of that nature, I'm not entirely sure.
Christy Booth says, you don't. Scrap it or move it to January. Football is on its knees, Enda.
It's always on its knees. Even when football was at its best, football was on its knees, you know? So I think there's no more dramatic fans than GAA fans. Mm-hmm. Every single year, there's a structured debate. No matter what the structured debate is, there's a structured debate. So,
Peter Murphy says, Dublin can't play in Croke Park till the final. Yes.
These are some bizarre shouts. These are some interesting ones right here.
Why is this one bizarre? You think you own Croke Park?
Yeah, but like, Till the now, is this the All Ireland final or the Leinster final?
I think Leinster. It's Leinster.
Okay, Leinster final. Yeah, fair enough. That's All Ireland final. I think would be a little bit of a stretch, but Leinster final, I think is completely fair. Like they probably, do you know what they even really should look at? Like in Ulster, I think they do. In Munster, they do the same. Connacht, a home and away rule, where you know Dublin are, and I have Dublin in Parnell Park, as you said. That's something they should really look at. Or even use Port Leash, Nolan Park, which was used for Dublin Kildare last year.
What about the RDS now that there's a budding relationship between Leinster and the GAA?
Oh my God, what a show.
Swapping over, yeah. Might see Dublin at the Aviva.
They'd be putting up the shutters out in Ballsbridge, I'd say, when the GAA fans come out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rory O'D says, split the fuckers in two.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised that's split not three four, or four. Say, yeah, I think two has actually been quite kind.
And he probably, one of them would still win it, like, guaranteed.
Yeah, be South Dublin versus North Dublin in the final.
Who's winning it?
Probably South Dublin, I think, right now. I'm a North Sider, so I'd love nothing more than North Dublin, but I think South Dublin with the Kilmacook Crokes lads. I mean, he could have Shane Walsh playing for South Dublin.
Well, I was going to say that, yeah.
Do you know, like...
Pod Eustace says, make Dublin play outside of Croke Park. High Performance Zone says, add Munster and Connacht and call it the Free State Cup. Ulster... play theirs.
Now, part of me thinks that Ulster fans would actually just enjoy the fact that they wouldn't be involved. It would give them another thing to get their
siege mentality type thing. Yeah.
But there's one issue with that, right?
What?
It's just the All Ireland. There's been several things that have been suggesting put Dublin and Kerry and Mayo and Galway into the one championship. That's just the All Ireland without the Ulster teams. Like, so.
Probably you may make well for more scrap, entertaining football.
Anyway, may as well just scrap the provinces. Like, if you're going to move Dublin, you may as well just scrap the provinces.
Yeah, you can't really remove one without removing the others. Yeah. And if you're going to change one, you kind of have to change the rules for another. So it's. But then again, like, you don't get the same issues in the Leinster Championship as you get in the Ulster Championship. So it's such a, divisive debate, really.
Mm. Richie McGraw says, send Dublin up to Ulster or split Dublin into end ascending the Dubs. The Dubs up to Ulster. Jesus, would that go down well now?
That would be a bloody fantastic championship, though. But at the, I can't remember who it was that was making the point that even if you sent Dublin to Ulster, it's still a net result. But Dublin are still going to win every... They're still going to win 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in a row.
I reckon they could get caught maybe once or twice, especially playing in...
Because Donegal, Armagh...
You'd have better games, but at the end of the day, what's the Ulster record against Dublin and the All-Ireland?
Like, I think the problem would be as well as if Dublin did win the Ulster Championship, then everyone would be saying, well, actually, the Ulster winners are the runners-up in the final. Do you know what I mean? That would be the real Ulster champions, but yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Coleman says, the four provincial winners go into Cup Winners' Cup the following year. There would be five competitions, the four provincials and the Cup Winners' Cup before the group stages of the All-Ireland. Can anyone
what he's trying to say here. This actually is, it's an interesting one, but I think it's, again, just adding another competition to an already congested calendar. So basically what he's saying is, let's say, for example, Galway win Connacht, Donegal win Ulster, Dublin win Leinster,
Cork
and Kerry.
Kerry
won the Munster. All four of those teams would then be removed from their province the following year.
Okay.
Going into a separate competition that would be the Cup Winners' Cup, and then the provinces would then be played without those four teams. So you'd always have a new winner of the provinces the following year.
But it would just go year by year. One year would be really good. One year would be really shit. One year would be really good. One year would be really shit.
You're still like, it's still going to have like a, it's just going to be a cycle. It's sort of like your participation medals. Like, you know, everyone gets a chance of winning. Like that is one thing that I kind of struggle with here is that, like, obviously it is an issue when there's the competition's not great, but there does have to be a winner at the end of the day. And the likelihood is it's going to be the team that has the best players. And for the history of the GAA, discounting like anything pre-1980s, it's been majority of the stronger counties that have been winning. Like it's just the way it goes. Like, sometimes teams are better. Sometimes areas are better set up to have better footballers, better hurlers. So like, you don't hear Donegal complaining that, you know, they don't have a chance in the hurling.
They play hurling, do they?
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they actually did quite well in the Nicky Rackard a couple of years ago. But you know what I mean? Like, Donegal are not a hurling county, but you don't hear them complaining that they don't have a chance to win the All Ireland. You know what I mean?
So yeah, but that's because they don't care enough.
But Kilkenny don't even have a football team. Like,
ah, that is bullshit. Don't get me started on Kilkenny again now, right?
But like, at the end of the day, like, there's going to be counties upset that they didn't win anything. That's just the way it goes.
Aaron, any final departing thoughts of wisdom to the people of the GA Hour?
Yeah, like, maybe put Dublin straight through to the Leinster final. Maybe that might be the only good solution I can think of in my head, because at least then you can let everyone else battle it out, and then it's just a one-off game, and then you never know, you know, like that might, and then you're removing the Dublin Offaly, the Dublin Laois, you know, Dublin Meath, like, because at least if yesterday was a Leinster final, right, it's over and done with, it's done, park it, let's move on, whereas now we have Dublin and Offaly in a couple of weeks, and it's just repeating the same process over and over again.
Do you want to hear my master plan?
Go on.
Right. So we have, let's say Kilkenny actually get a kick up the hole and have a football team. We have a country that is naturally set up for a 32-team competition, something that has been run for decades over the course of every other sport that has a 32-team competition. Why do we not have a 32-team competition? That's so we have a league competition. We've done the structures there, and instead of naturally just doing the successful model of a 32-team group stage competition that goes into knockouts, we have decided on something completely different because of what has been done in the past. So it should be league, then 32-team All-Ireland final, All-Ireland competition.
In both series?
In both series. Well, yeah, but this...
New York and London are throwing out this, then with the...
I mean, who cares?
You could even something you could do. You could have New York play London. The winner of that goes into the 32-team competition.
Yeah, maybe they replace Kilkenny because they don't want to play football.
No, but
yeah, the reason this would, I think, would work over the long term. It wouldn't work immediately because obviously there are teams that aren't very good at football or hurling. But this really gives a kick up the hole to those counties that don't take both codes seriously. They would need to start doing that. So,
I don't think they'd care. They just take their.
I do think there would be a slight increase in the quality of hurling across the Ulster counties and quality of football across Munster.
Right. Well, what shouts we had there. The full time whistle has gone. Miserable weekend last week, but we're looking good for this weekend, lads. The championship is properly back now that Munster Hurling is here. Thanks a million for joining us once more here on the GA Hour. Be sure to retweet, repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Be sure to tell your friends about us as well and throw us in the old club group chat. Give us an old 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Enda, Aaron, it has been a pleasure, and we'll chat to you all next week.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.